Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
O'clock hour, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Barlines. I forgot, Greg Wyshynski moving to 2:30 today, so we'll talk to him in about 25 minutes and get the latest on the playoffs. Fun one last night between Colorado and Minnesota as the Avs were down 3-0, came back and won the game 4-3 in overtime to eliminate John Hines and the Minnesota Wild.
Oh, so, no.
Yeah, so Colorado will they will head to the conference championship series. So should be fun there. Quickly, so we got a few other things we'll talk about. Remember about 20 days ago I mentioned that the University of Arkansas was getting rid of their men's and women's tennis program?
Yes.
20 days later, they have reinstated those two programs.
Okay.
The announcement came 20 days after the Razorbacks announced they would cut both programs. There has been a groundswell of support to keep the tennis program since that announcement. Supporters raised roughly $2.5 million in cash to pay for the program in 26-27 and received pledges for another $2.5 million for a total of $5 million in new donations.
So were they crying wolf?
Basically. That's what I think.
And then somebody from Walmart's like, ah, we got a couple of extra $4, $5, $10 million laying around. We got you covered.
Yeah.
I think it was stupid to get rid of the program anyway.
Well, at least they're saved.
Yeah, right, good. So they're back. Yeah, I'm not a fan of eliminating teams.
No.
They put out a thing yesterday with Alabama Athletic Department revenue, and guess what sport at Alabama cost them the most money to run?
Baseball.
Nope.
Football.
No, football made them like $38 million.
Cost the most to run?
The negative to positive, this track was women's basketball.
Really?
They lost like $4.5 million in women's basketball.
Wow.
That's the one.
Hmm.
Football and then basketball made them a little bit of money too, but football is the one. I mean, football is the welcome mat. Football is the money. We all know that is the generator. And
yeah.
Because of the football, you're able to have women's tennis and men's tennis and track and field and – polo, everything else that goes. That's part of it, you know. And then they get the big check from the SEC Network, too, helps.
All right, going to test your knowledge. We've done this before, but I just saw this, and this is fun, and this time I'm going to make you do it. How many NFL seasons has it been since a team has appeared in the conference championship game? Each team. Now, I'll go ahead and say this. Houston has never been to the AFC championship.
Okay.
But everybody else has been to their championship game at least once.
Okay.
How long has it been for the Titans?
AFC championship game?
Yep.
2002.
No.
Oh, 19. God, I'm so sorry.
You were there. We were there together.
Damn it. You're right. I'm trying to be cool about that. That's right.
So that's six seasons.
Yep.
One other team, it's been six seasons for them as well.
Oh, okay. Would be the – not the Chiefs. Packers?
Nope. Been five for them.
Six seasons as well. So this team didn't – 2019 they appeared?
Yep.
So it was the Chiefs, Titans, Packers, and Niners in 2019.
Well, this says the Saints.
No. That's wrong. Stupid list.
Okay.
Yeah, the Saints went in. They went of course, the Super Bowl in 09. Was it 18 when the PI call versus the Rams? I think that was it, right? I think it was 18. The Rams in the Superdome was the game where the pass interference was called and the Rams went to the Super Bowl.
You're wrong. It was Rams-Saints in 2019.
No, no. This is all wrong. This is the season.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Not the year. So it's a 2018 season. And take that back, because I didn't like that tone.
Sorry.
I mean, you turned – right? And thank you. people here at the Omni noticed that. Right. This is what I deal with 5 days a week.
I'm sorry.
Thank
all
you,
right, so the 20,
sweetheart.
So the 2019 NFC Championship game, you're right, was Green Bay, San Francisco.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah. So I guess they're
– so the problem, because the games are in January, people are like, oh, it happened in January. It's the season.
Well, because this says the seasons.
Yeah. So it was 2018 season. The Rams beat the Saints on that PI call, which everybody right. – which was just awful. So that was it. And the Patriots beat whomever that year going that for that. That might – well, no. Patriots went back last year.
And I see – you know what? I think I see what they did. Yeah.
Call them out on it.
Okay.
That's some list Vingan came up with. Call them out on it.
What's Vingan catching?
Because he spelled – he said Lafayette wrong.
Okay.
Bring gas.
Oh, I love Adam.
That is my favorite drop that we had. Well, second favorite drop that we had.
Yeah, all right.
I love Tennessee.
That's the
That's so good. All right, keep going more.
All right. Which team has the longest drought in a championship game?
Oh, let's see
here. According to this, it's 36 seasons.
36 seasons. All right, let me get my head here. So 36 seasons, that'd be back to 1990-ish, 89-ish. AFC or NFC?
AFC.
AFC. Browns.
Yeah.
Got beat by the Broncos 2 years in a row.
Yep.
They should have won both years, and that 89 was a fumbled. The former Titans coach fumbled going into the end zone. And I can't think of Kevin Biner. Not Biner. Is it Biner? Ernest Biner? I think it was. Fumbled going into the end zone. Yep.
The next is 33
seasons. 33
seasons,
man. All right, so that'd be 1992. Really big shoe. AFC, NFC.
AFC.
AFC, 1992. So I'm going to say the Browns. Hold on, man. It's not the Jets because the Jets won 98. Hold on. Don't shut your mouth, man. Shut your mouth.
I can say no words.
So the Browns, not the Bengals, not the Bills, not the Bills, not the Jets. Oh, come on, Joe. Dolphins.
There you go.
That's right.
I was about to say, you're in the right division.
Yeah, and I think Thurman Thomas was on that Dolphins team that year. I think he went maybe what? He played for – he ended up a career with the Dolphins. Thurman Thomas ended up playing the Bills, and they made it to a championship game. Maybe that was it. I don't know. Go ahead.
30 NFL seasons for this team.
Cowboys.
Yep.
The way your tone was was disgust. I was like, that's Cowboys.
23 seasons.
So it's going back to 2000 Raiders.
Yep.
Who the Raiders beat?
The Titans.
That's right.
Yep. 16 seasons.
Jets. No.
They're 15.
16 seasons. So
I totally forgot about this one.
It's not the Ravens, is it?
Nope.
So 16.
Ravens went 2 years ago. Or two seasons.
That's right. Hold on. So that'd be in the 2009 or 10 season. AFC? Or NFC?
AFC.
AFC. Chargers?
Yep.
Wow. That's right. We talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, because they lost to Patriots.
Patriots,
right?
Yep.
Jets 15, 14. This is crazy. Both these teams. Well, how is that right?
Burn it.
They're both NFC.
2011 season. So that was the year the Giants went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
In Indianapolis.
Yep. So they won. Yeah. So that's the last time they were in the NFC Championship.
Wow, the Giants. All right, 2011.
And then I guess it's the team they beat.
So it's NFC team. NFC wasn't the Redskins. It wasn't the Panthers went in 15. The Bucks went in 20. Saints went in 18. Falcons went in 16. Get out of here. Not the Bears.
It is the Bears.
Is it?
Yeah, but they played the Packers.
That was 2010 season. That's the game when Cutler didn't play.
Yeah, this says, it's been 14 seasons since the Bears were in the championship game.
I don't remember that. What list is this?
I don't know. Poly Market put it out there.
Is this that? That's a problem. The poly market. It's like a poly relationship. Got all kind of people weighing in on it.
Yeah. Okay.
There goes a Waymo. Oh my gosh.
615-737-1025. We will have Greg Wyshynski join us at 2:30. We'll have more coming here from the Omni on 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Thursday. Greg Wyshynski coming up here in just a few minutes. See if he can shed a little light on the Preds GM search, if they do have someone. The Oilers have fired Chris Knobloch, their head coach.
Knobloch. Love it, man.
And have not named the replacement yet. But once again, Edmonton making a coaching change. As maybe one day they'll get it. Who knows?
Look at you talking smack against them. By the way, I just got you, me and Dr. Crane, excellent seats to the Luke Bryan concert in September.
Oh,
so we're good to go.
Thank you.
You guys are welcome. It's on me. Don't worry about it.
Do I have to drink bleach?
Oh, my gosh. You're going to get beat up by Gomer Pyle, man.
That was a serious question.
No.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny.
So right now in the NHL, I guess it would appear Edmonton is open, Toronto is open.
GM search.
No, head coach.
Okay, head coach. Okay.
Yeah. In L.A. But I think the interim could keep the job. But Bruce Cassidy's in the mix as well, so. Who knows?
You never know what Bruce Cassidy's going to do, right?
Yeah.
Remember that one weekend we had with him in Montreal?
That was fun. That's how he got the nickname Butch.
Well, me, you, and Poyle up there, we had a blast that weekend.
You were the Sundance kid.
We were. It's crazy, man. I was like, where's Joe? Oh, he's on top of the Olympic Stadium. He had to go up there and bring me down. Fun weekend in Montreal. Kept saying, Montreal. And I'm like, Chase, you're getting smacked. And then you said it one time, and then P.K. Subban was walking by, and he was like, hey, man. And I had to separate you two. I'm like, nah, it ain't happening.
Well, then
today.
Shea Weber came in and got
– Shea Weber came in talking French. And I was like, what are you talking about, Shea? We know you're from Nashville. Stop.
9055, bringing up NASCAR again. On NASCAR, the best Daytona 500 finish was 1979 when Donnie Allison – was about to win. Yarbrough wrecked him, and then they got into the fight, and Bobby pulled over and started beating the crap out of Yarbrough. Yeah, that is a famous one. And the funny part about that was it was the first live flag-to-flag broadcast of the Daytona 500.
Wow.
And a snowstorm had hit the whole southeast, so everybody was hunkered down, and they got record ratings of people watching.
Oh, that's awesome.
Watching the race.
I remember the still picture of them.
There's a fight in the –
yeah. Yeah. Did they have his helmet off?
Yeah, he was beating the crap out of Kale with the helmet.
Now, that's a fight, man.
Oh,
that's good days.
The rumor on that was, and I don't know how true this is, but the rumor was that Bill France Sr. basically pulled them aside – before the next race and said,
do it again.
No. Well, in supposedly the scene from Days of Thunder, you know, with Fred Thompson is kind of based off this.
That makes sense.
He basically said, you two can beat the, you know what, out of each other anywhere other than inside my racetrack. If you try and do it again in my racetrack, you're both gone.
Okay. Yeah.
So that was basically it. Oh yeah. It was, I've watched that. It's on YouTube. The whole race is on YouTube. It's awesome. But a fun one. And so Richard Petty ends up winning the race.
That race?
Yep.
Okay.
He ends up winning it. But the fight was just Fantastic.
All right, this is now coming unconfirmed that the Colts will close out the stadium versus the Titans at Nissan Stadium January the 3rd.
Okay.
Unconfirmed.
So it'll be the Colts.
Unconfirmed, but we know it's going to be one of three AFC South teams, but that no, that's the Colts. That's fine, you know.
Do we think the sheriff will be in attendance?
God, I hope not. I'm sure he will. She'll show up. Hey, man, how can we make this game about me? Last game of the season in Nissan. I didn't play with the Titans, but last game, how can we make it about me? I'm sure he'll show up.
Oh, also seeing this, Jacksonville Jaguars superstar quarterback Trevor Lawrence's wife posted a photo on her Instagram story of hair on the floor. Could Trevor have cut his hair?
Oh, my God. I bet the one like on that story is Robbie Stanley.
Now Robbie's catching strays on the show.
That's
come right. on, now.
That's my favorite show is Robbie and Rexford. I told
it
you
is.
That.
It is. Yeah. So
I'm sad that so I'm Colts, looking at this right now.
So the Colts
allegedly.
Yeah. Reportedly, allegedly.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that will be interesting.
But we knew already what was going to be one of those three to have there.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
So it's not been confirmed about the opening game is the Jets are going to be here, which is fine. It's a lot of good drama for the NFL, for New York, for two bad teams. A little drama right there. I'll take that all day long.
Well, cool. Coming up next, we'll talk to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. He will join the show next. It's but first, want to give away some tickets?
Yes.
Let's do this. Right. Caller number.
Let's
for
go,
Journey.
Let's go six today.
Caller number six at 615-737-1025 will win a pair of tickets before you can buy them to see Journey at Bridgestone Arena on Wednesday, October 21st. Those tickets go on sale Friday at 10 o'clock. Caller number six, 615-737-1025. Good luck. Greg Wyshynski joins us next on 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday. Hanging out here at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Barlines. Now joined by ESPN senior NHL writer Greg Wyshynski, presented by Old National Bank. Get old, Greg. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. You know, it's exciting times on and off the ice.
Yes. Well, let's start with the two Canadian teams that are going to be needing head coaches. Chris Knobloch fired in Edmonton and Berube fired in Toronto. So those are two interesting openings now with head coaches.
Yeah, and it's hard to think about the Edmonton situation not pointing to them eventually hiring Bruce Cassidy once the Vegas Golden Knights decide to give them permission to talk to the guy formally. You know, because in a perfect world, the Golden Knights name him like a scout. They never let him go to Edmonton. It gets really ugly. But I think if they continue to withhold the chance for the Edmonton to talk to their former coach, the league will probably step in at some point and be like, hey, listen, man, you got to let this guy get another job in the league at some point. So I imagine if they're going to move on from a guy that led them to two straight Stanley Cup finals, albeit a first-round exit this year, that they've got somebody in mind, and it's somebody who kind of fits what they talked about today, the Oilers, who can come in and kind of give them defensive structure and do all the things that Bruce Cassidy can do in short order. Toronto, anybody's guess. I mean, you know, that was a situation where a change had to be made. You don't swap out your entire front office and then end up keeping the coach that led a team to its first playoff miss in 10 seasons. Kind of fascinated to see what direction they go. And if that direction they end up going is in any way related to trying to keep Austin Matthews happy.
Do you think, though, like, who wants that job? I mean, I know there's going to be somebody that's like, yeah, it's one of 32 or it's Toronto and I'm the guy for the job. But, like, I almost equate it to replacing Nick Saban at Alabama. Like, there's just so much pressure to take that job and with the front office situation the way it is. Like, who wants to step up and do it?
Well, there's two ways to answer that. First off, there's only 32 of these jobs, right? And so if you are somebody on the outside looking in and you want a gig and it's a place that can pay you probably pretty handsomely to become their new coach, you probably take that offer. The second thing is, you know, it's been pretty obvious why the Leafs have hired some of the people they've hired in recent years. You know, they get Babcock in there to teach a young team how to win. They get Berube in there to try to, like, fix the broken psyche of a team because he was so good at doing that during St. Louis's Cup run. I don't know where this Leafs team is. Like, are they in a mode of contention? Are they in the mode of retooling? What does it all mean? And do you bring in somebody who is commiserate with that cycle, or do you just bring in the best coach that you could find? I don't know. And then on top of that, you got a guy who's the general manager who hasn't been in the league in 6 years. He's been managing Wendy's and Tim Hortons for his family's company in Canada. And then above him is Matt Sundin. So who even knows what they have in mind as well?
Yeah, it is certainly going to be one to watch. Does Austin Matthews end up staying in Toronto in the long term, though?
No. So there's two ways to answer that. In the long term, no, in the sense that he can leave as a free agent in a couple of years, much like Connor McDavid can in Edmonton. I think he ends up playing somewhere in the United States at the end of his contract. In the short term, I've done some reporting on this since news came out that Matthews is going to kind of take a beat and figure out what he wants his future to be, and that's very real. You know, he doesn't know if he necessarily wants to play in Toronto next year. He wants to see what moves they make, what are the things they have in motion to try to make this team competitive in the short term. Because if not, he could easily do the same thing that Quinn Hughes did, the same thing that Matthew Tkachuk did, which is to peace out before your contract is up, knowing that you've got a couple of years of window to win a Stanley Cup with a contender before you have a chance to go unrestricted free agent and set records in the amount of contract money that will come your way.
Greg, by the way, I've got friends, a few of them, that manage a Wendy's. I think managing a Wendy's is harder than managing an NHL team. I just think the drama at the Wendy's is a lot more, but I get what you're saying about that. Hey, let me ask you this. I pay a lot of attention to the teams inside the Predators division, of course, because it's the Nashville Predators. With Minnesota losing last night, a lot of, you know, they made the second round, a lot of excitement about them. How good could they be coming back next year, Greg, if they keep the core there?
Hey, where? Sorry, it cut out. Which team are you talking about?
Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota. First of all, imagine managing a Wendy's that hasn't made a good burger since 1967. That's what being with the Toronto Maple Leafs is like, okay?
All right.
Second of all, Minnesota is an interesting one because, and it's kind of almost Austin Matthews related a little bit in the sense that I never thought this team could beat Colorado. And the reason I didn't think they could beat Colorado is because their lineup is a donut. They've got nothing in the middle. You know, with Joel Eriksson Ek being injured, their number one center was Ryan Hartman, which you guys obviously are a guy you guys are familiar with.
Right.
That's not going to give you the center depth that you need to take out a team that has Nathan MacKinnon, Brock Nelson, Nazem Kadri, Nick Waugh, and Jack Drury up the middle. They go five deep in Colorado. So the modus operandi for the Minnesota Wild after this season is they've got to add significantly to their center position. And maybe that means if there's the opportunity to continue to push all your chips in the middle of the table and make a run at Matthews, imagine him with that team surrounding him in Minnesota. So it's clearly the biggest area of need, and I'm fascinated to see how Bill Guerin, a guy who is not shy about making a big move, what he ends up doing.
Interesting. I'll ask the question. Predators GM search. I mean, I hope they don't announce tomorrow because the NFL schedule releases tonight and everything tomorrow. I hope they wait till next week. But are you surprised this has taken a little bit longer than everybody thought?
I'm not, because all the reports are that that they're looking at somebody who may be currently tied up in the playoffs somewhere. And you know, I had heard the name Darren York from the Carolina Hurricanes as being a possibility. I know that there's been some cold water thrown on that by my friend Elliot Friedman in Canada, and he is a pretty plugged in guy. So I do think they'll probably go the assistant general manager route from somewhere. That seems to be the most logical reason why this is taking so long. But I'll be fascinated to see where they end up. I mean, I feel like if they were going to hire Tom Fitzgerald, it probably would have happened already. They probably have somebody in mind that they've identified, and we'll see what shakes out.
Greg, this is my prediction. In a couple of days, they're going to call a press conference. They're going to have somebody walk out. in a robe and a black hood, and Barry Trotz is going to pull it off and say it was him all along. Just a la Vince McMahon. So that's where I could see this going at this point.
It was me, Nashville. It was me all along. hey, listen, man, there's precedent. I mean, we did have a vice president by the name of Dick Cheney who was in charge of finding who the vice president should be. So
that's true.
You never know when you have these kinds of searches. But I don't know. I think obviously they feel like there needs to be a different voice. And, you know, the ownership has been pretty meticulous in this search. And we'll see where they end up with. But there certainly is an air of mystery to it. I mean, there again, when you start hearing one name, and then a prominent insider says it's not that name, there's got to be some level of disconnect going on.
Are we destined for Colorado versus Carolina in the Cup Final?
There is a certain amount of King Kong versus Godzilla happening here, boys, where
yep.
They seem like they're both marauding across the countryside until they meet somewhere in the middle of the country. Look, Colorado, we all knew, had the juggernaut in them, and dismantling the Wild in five games, despite the Wild missing a couple of key players, is incredible, because they're doing it not only with the star players. I mean, they get the goal from McKinnon last night to send it to overtime, but then, you know, Brent Kulak scores in overtime. They've gotten goals from Ross Colton and Parker yep. Kelly in key situations. Their depth is unbelievable, and then on top of that, you have some of the best players in the world having heroic moments. Carolina, though, don't sleep on them. Like, I covered them against in the first two rounds, including their sweep of the Flyers. And this is the best offensive team Rod Brindamore's had there. If they continue to get goaltending from Freddie Anderson like they've gotten, and that's not a guarantee because that guy can turn into a pumpkin and he can also get injured, they're a team that could sneakily give Colorado a pretty good series. I think it's not a foregone conclusion in a Carolina-Colorado series that it would be Colorado coming out on top.
Well, and I'll say this about last night. I was sitting with my buddy watching, and it was about halfway through the second period before they scored. I said, if you feel like putting some pizza money down, I would take Colorado to come back and win this thing. I just had that feeling that, you know, they were just too good, and I've seen them play with their food too much to count them out.
Well, it's also a situation where Minnesota's spirit was sucked out of its body vampirically. When you blow a 3-0 lead in a winner go home game, you know, it's hard to kind of get off the mat again once you let that game get to overtime. So I had the same feeling, and you could see it in the way they played too. I mean, like, Kirill Kaprizov getting paid the gross national product of Belize on his next contract, and he doesn't shoot the puck on goal. He tries to pass it, and that decision led directly to Colorado's game-winning goal in overtime, and that's the difference. I mean, McKinnon gets his shot, he shoots it. Kaprizov gets his shot, he tries to pass it, and that's a pretty stark difference.
Greg, in your experience in covering the playoffs, when a team's got too much time off, is it a detriment? Like, Carolina might have over a week off. Have you seen teams, because they've had so much time off, it takes a second to get them going again, where if a team is rolling through and they've got a day off and they're to the next round and on, has that motor running? Is this a do or die, or this means nothing at all?
Normally, yes, except this is a special situation because, if you remember, Carolina is the first team to have back-to-back sweeps under this playoff format that we've had since 1987. So I talked to them after the series, like, what's going to happen if you guys are you know, off the ice for like 9 or 10 days? And they already had their processes in place after the first round where they didn't play for a week to make sure that they remain sharp and in shape and focused.
Right.
So they kind of go into this break knowing how to do it in a way that maybe other teams haven't in the past. And I think that's going to be really beneficial to them in this next series against Buffalo or Montreal.
He is Greg Wyshynski of ESPN. Are you covering a game tonight?
No, I'm actually in Bristol for some meetings.
Oh, nice.
Here at the Worldwide Leader today. And I'm actually going on SportsCenter Australia later today to talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs. Probably make some terrible jokes about Fosters and crocodiles, but you know, as you do. But no, I'll be back on the road for the conference. Actually, that's not true. If Anaheim wins tonight, I think I'm off to Vegas on Saturday for Game 7. I'm not saying I'm wearing a duck mask today in support of me going to Vegas on Saturday. maybe I am.
Nice. Well, I'll say this. If the rumors are true, we hope to see you in Nashville for week one of the NFL season.
Oh, God.
Because the rumors are it is the Saleh revenge game against the Jets.
Well, listen, that would be amazing. As you guys know, the best time of the year for a Jets fan are the hours before week one. And then it's all downhill after that.
Yeah, well, Titans fans are probably right there with you. So that's kind of how it is. Appreciate it as always, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Greg Wyshynski, senior NHL writer from ESPN, joins us every Thursday, usually at 2. He's presented by Old National Bank. Get old. We'll come back with What Day Is It and Celebrity Birthdays all next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game here on this Thursday. Hope you're having a good day. Tomorrow, you and Dr. Crane will have the show. I got some things to handle. You'll
right.
be at Goodwood.
Goodwood, Nashville, 219 Lafayette Street. We are so excited about going to Goodwood. They're having a nice little shindig over there tonight, so I'm excited to tell you guys about Goodwood and all they've got to offer, man. It's a really cool story, a really cool place. If you're in construction or lumber, things like that, you'll love Goodwood.
Dylan on our text line, shout out to you. Happy birthday. As you mentioned, you weigh in all the time, been a listener for a long time. So happy birthday.
Thank you, buddy.
There you go. With that, let's get to What Day Is It and Celebrity Birthdays.
Okay, first on the list, we have Underground America Day. So there's that. National Brioche Day is today. National Buttermilk Biscuit Day. Those are always delicious.
Those.
Ascension Day is today. The Stars and Stripes Forever Day. Dance Like a Chicken Day. And then the last one is International Dylan Thomas Day. So,
all right. Thanks for
Dylan
all that,
Day.
Dr. Crane.
You're welcome.
You Dylan
job.
Dreyer, who'd you say?
Just Dylan Day is what it's called as well.
So Dylan from 90210? Love
yeah.
that. All right, here
our
we go.
Dylan's birthday on our text
line. There we go. Time for celebrity birthdays. Get these within 2 years of the year of how old they are. All right, Chase, you go first. How old is former Big Red Machine first baseman? How old is Tony Perez?
78.
71.
84. Dr. Crane, how old is former Baltimore Cleveland Indian Montreal Expo pitcher Dennis Martinez?
73.
66.
71. Dr. Crane's on the board first.
Nice.
Dr. Crane, how old is former Eagles receiver Mike Quick?
I'm going to go with 59.
He was fast, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah. 64.
67. Chaser, how old is Susie Colbert? Bonus points if you tell me who loves her.
Joe Willie Namath loves her.
Right.
And 63.
65.
62. We're tied at one. Dr. Crane, how old is former NBA player Pooh Richardson?
Pooh Richardson is...
great player.
48.
74.
60. Chase, how old is Frank Gore Sr.?
Frank Gore is 44.
43.
43, exactly. Yep, nice. 3-1. Dr. Crane, how old is Gronk? How old is Gronk today? His age matches his IQ.
37.
38.
37, exactly. 5-1, yep. Dr. Crane. Chaser, how old is George Lucas today?
79.
82.
82, exactly. He's up 7-1. Dr. Crane, how old is one of my favorite actors, Tim Roth?
81.
80.
65. He's in Pulp Fiction. He's not that old. Okay. Chaser, how old is Kate Blanchett, the actress?
Was she in Titanic?
That was...
no, it's Kate Winslet.
Kate Winslet.
56.
58.
57. That's a push. Dr. Crane, how old is Sofia Coppola?
Related to Francis Ford Coppola?
It's his daughter.
Oh. Let's go 49. That's it.
42.
55. Chase, how old is Dan Auerbach from the Black Keys, who lives over in East Nashville? They were on Jimmy Fallon the other night.
47.
55.
47 exactly. Here we go. It's 7-3. He's coming back. Dr. Crane, how old is Mark Zuckerberg?
43.
41.
41 exactly. Here we go. 7-5. We're going to speed this up a little bit. Chaser, how old is director Robert Zemeckis, who did Forrest Gump and Back to the Future?
81.
80?
75. Dr. Crane, how old is David Byrne, lead singer of Talking Heads? He was in town the other night with the concert.
66.
61.
74. Chaser, how old is guitar player CeCe DeVille of Poison?
58.
59.
64. It's now still 7-5, Dr. Crane. Chaser, how old is musician Fabrice Morvan of Milli Vanilli, the only one that's remaining?
62.
68.
60. It's 7-6. Here we go. Dr. Crane, how old is singer Danny Wood of New Kids on the Block?
57.
56.
57 exactly. 9-6. Two more real quick. Dr. Crane, how old is singer Shanice?
70.
57.
53. Final one here. Chaser, how old is lead singer of Old Crow Medicine Show, Ketch Sikor?
70.
72.
48. 9-6. Good job, Dr. Crane.
We had a gentleman leave us a note that says, go Seahawks, 2026 Super Bowl champs.
Oh, he's happy about that note, wasn't he?
He was very happy. Go Seahawks.
That
is going to do it for us here today. Thanks to the Omni and Bar Lines for having us.
We leave every show every day. Look, you know, May is Mental Health Month, and we want to tell you out there to the guys, if you are struggling, please go to therapy. Please talk to somebody. Please know your value. Please know your worth. Please know that we love you. And, look, we get some days are rougher than others, but, man, you're still here, and it's a beautiful day because you are here. And, listen, we want to go to your comeback party. Invite us to your comeback party. We're going to show up. Reach out. Talk to us if you need us. Our world is a better place because you are here. People love you. People depend on you, and people smile when they think about you. Please know that. Again, we love you a lot, and please know, more importantly, more than anything else in this world, how much God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD coming your way next on 102.5 The Game.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com.